أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. In the name of Allah, the Gracious, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the Universe, the Master of the Day of Judgment. I bear witness and testimony to the oneness of Allah, to His magnificence, His omnipotence, His might, His glory, to His being the creator and sustainer of all things, the giver of life, the guider of hearts, the master of the day of judgment. And I bear witness to the fact that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and final messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and upon all those who choose to tread in his path until the last day. It is said that in the years before Islam entered into the Hijaz, the custom of the Meccan society was that the people wanted to have sons in their family. That no one at that time, none of the clans, none of the tribes, none of the people of the place of Mecca, none of them wanted to have any kind of daughter, none of them wanted to have any females, but rather they wanted to have sons, they wanted to have people who would carry on their lineage, they wanted to have men who would go forth and say that this is who my father was, that look at who I am the son of. That even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, his own grandfather Abdul Muttalib, when he is having his sons, when he has his sons, he is praying to his gods, he is praying to his lords, that give me more sons, give me more people, that I might have my name carried forth. To the extent that it was custom at that time that when a young woman, when a daughter was born into a family, they would go to the stakes of burying that woman alive in the ground. They wanted men, they wanted sons, they wanted their name, their lineage to be carried forth. This was the way that the people functioned at that time. But we know that our beloved alayhi salam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was in the situation that none of his sons survived past an early age. That aside from Fatima, aside from his daughters, aside from the women that bore his name, he did not have any men, he did not have any sons, he did not have any males that would carry on his legacy, that would carry on his lineage. And so rather than leaving behind any men that would carry on his name, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instead left behind his words and his actions and his examples. That at any given occasion, in any given circumstance, whenever he was surrounded by his sahabis, those men and women of that best generation, whenever he had the opportunity to impart advice and knowledge upon them, he would do so in the most concise and lucid of ways, knowing who his audience was, knowing who the people were that he was speaking to, knowing them in terms of their specific weaknesses and strengths. This man, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he knew that what he would say would carry forth beyond him, and so he spoke not only understanding that the people at that time would take heed of his words, but knowing that the likes of you and I today would also ponder upon the wisdom that he imparted upon us. And so this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it says that his speech was categorized as being jawami, that it had a certain uniqueness to it, that every single word carried meaning. That he did not require lengthy speeches and lengthy orations to carry forth his meanings, that he did not need to speak for hours upon hours, but when he spoke concise statements, these too carried such power and profoundness. And so it is said on one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is sitting with a group of his sahabis, and he says to them that I will tell you five things to do, that I will advise you of five things. Which one of you will act upon the things that I am about to say, and then go out and teach those to people who will practice upon it as well? And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that he is sitting in that gathering, he is sitting in that group with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rest of the companions, and he jumps up before anybody else will say anything, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I will act upon those five things, tell me what they are, without knowing what is going to come out of the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without having any kind of consideration or any understanding of what the Prophet alayhi salam is about to tell him to do. He says that, Ya Rasulullah, whatever you are going to say, let me be the one who has the privilege of actually carrying it out in my life. And so the Prophet alayhi salam, he takes his sahabi Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu by the hand, and taking his hand finger upon finger, he begins to count these five things. And the first thing that he says to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is, اتَّقَ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ عَبَدَ النَّاسِ. They refrain from doing the sins, refrain from doing things that are haram, you will be of the most virtuous of people. And for our understanding, what we take away from this is that when we would describe somebody as being of the abad al-nas, those who are the most virtuous of men, those who are the most virtuous of women, we immediately begin to think of people who have some kind of quantified aspect of worship in their lives. That mashallah, how virtuous is that person? How much Quran does he know? That mashallah, how virtuous and pious is that person? How many times is he praying and prostrating to Allah? That mashallah, how virtuous is that person? Look at how much hadith he has memorized. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not recommending to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that, Ya Abi Huraira, go out and carry out on some kind of actions, go out and actually do something. But he is saying that if you want to be the most virtuous person, if you want to be amongst those who have the favor of Allah, don't go out and do something, but refrain from actually doing something that would cause you harm. That don't do those things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has deemed to be impermissible for you. That stay away from those things that He has said are not good for you. Don't engage in those kind of activities that have been deemed to be unlawful by the deen and the law of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Stay away from that stuff which is haram. It has no benefit for you. Day in and day out, when we are recommending to people as to how they should become better Muslims, so on and so forth, we are telling them to go out and do this, go out and do that, go out and engage in this activity. And we ourselves, because we have a love and adoration for Allah Azza wa Jal, we will engage in whatever we can, and we will think that look at how great we are because of the things that we are doing. But we forget about those actions, we forget about those engagements that we are not supposed to be getting even close to. We forget about those things that in abundance we are doing that come from the category of being impermissible. And so too we forget this aspect that Allah Azza wa Jal, as much as He has made so much halal for us, He has also made a minority of things haram for us, impermissible for us to engage in. And the Prophet alayhi salam is saying to Abu Huraira that, Ya Abi Huraira, going forth in your life, if you want to have success, stay away from those things that have been deemed haram. There, and the Prophet alayhi salam is saying to Abu Huraira that, Ya Abi Huraira, going forth in your life, if you want to have success, stay away from those things that have been deemed haram. Thereafter, the Prophet alayhi salam, he tells him the second thing. He says, وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَكُونَ عَغْنَ النَّاسِ. That be content, be happy with that which Allah Azza wa Jal has given to you, you will become the wealthiest of people. And we would understand that on a daily basis, we engage in this kind of thought process that whenever we see somebody who has something that we might not have in our possession, our immediate thought is that, why don't I have that thing? Why am I not driving that car? Why is my house not as large as that house? Why do I not have these things? Why do I not have these material possessions? Why do I not have it? And more importantly, why do they? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is telling his sahabis that be content with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you. So many blessings He has showered upon you, ni'mah upon ni'mah, blessing upon blessing, barakah after barakah. He has given you the ability to see, He has given you the means to speak, He has given you the means to walk and talk, all of these things He has given to you. And despite the fact that the likes of you and I would abuse these and do things that we are not meant to do by them, still He gives us the ownership over it. And when we forget these things, we would then realize that look at the people who are around us, look at the people who are all over the world, the means and modes by which they are being tested, the things in which Allah Azza wa Jal is causing them to be engaged in, the manner in which they are being tested on whether or not they would actually adhere to the deen of Allah.
Nobody is blowing up our homes. Nobody is bulldozing our houses. Nobody is stealing away our children from us. Nobody is putting a gun to our head and saying to us that you either renounce your Islam or I will take your life. Nobody is putting this test in front of us. But because we are so weak, Allah has put us in a place where our test is that we have been given so much in terms of material possessions, we just want more and more and more of it. And the Prophet ﷺ, he has said that when you are looking at the people and you want to be like somebody, look at a person who is greater in the deen. But when you are thinking about yourself in terms of the dunya, when you are thinking about yourself in terms of your possessions, what you want of the world, look at somebody who has less than you. And then you will understand and you will appreciate everything that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to you. You will not want anything else. And so the Prophet alayhi salam, he is telling Abu Huraira radiallahu anh that, Ya Abi Huraira, don't forget every blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to you. That in those moments when you are trying to understand why, in those moments when you are trying to contemplate and reflect upon the situation that you are in, don't think about everything that you do not have, but reflect upon everything that you have been given thus far. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has said, "Afdalu dhikri la ilaha illallah wa afdalu du'a'i alhamdulillah." That the best of dhikr is la ilaha illallah, and the best of du'a is alhamdulillah, to send praises upon Allah. And we have mentioned it